717, it's Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gumnick is here. Yes, it is Dairy Month as we celebrate here in the month of June each year, and it's been going on for a long, long, long time. And our guest to talk more about it, had her on before, and glad to have her back with us here this morning from the St. Louis District Dairy Council, Monica Nyman. Good morning, Monica. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us here this morning. All right. As we said, June is Dairy Month. I know we celebrate this every year. I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this. I think every day is Dairy Day. Every month is Dairy Month. But it's a special month. So let's talk about why June. How did this all get started? Kind of the background about Dairy Month.
Sure. So June Dairy Month has actually been around for a really long time. It started back in 1937. They called it National Milk Month. And it was really just a way to promote all of the extra milk that was being produced whenever the cows started to graze on the greener pastures. It was warming up and they were eating a little bit more. And then back in 1939, they did change the name to June Dairy Month. So I find this amazing. We have been celebrating June Dairy Month for over 80 years, which is crazy. But it's a great time for us to honor our dairy farmers. We try to do that each and every interview. But just to give a little extra shout out to them, they're such hard workers. And then also just a time to remind listeners that dairy does fit into a healthy diet, and the dietary guidelines does recommend 3 servings a day of either milk, cheese, or yogurt.
You know, and it's interesting you mentioned the dairy farmers themselves and the hard work, and they've obviously through this whole pandemic have struggled with things like those that provide milk for schools and things like that. It's been a struggle for a lot of them.
It definitely has been. And the one thing that I, at this point, try to remind, you know, the listeners is that the cows have not stopped being milked. That's sort of one thing that people forget, you know, even though we may have seen shortages in the grocery stores of milk for, you know, a very limited amount of time. But the farmers have been out there working, you know, they haven't been working from home like many of us. They've been milking the cows, you know, 2 to 3 times a day. But they have definitely seen a lot of struggles, especially, you know, schools have for the most part been providing meals to students, but I would say most of the percentages have dropped a little bit. So they've seen some significant impacts when it comes to school milk. And then, of course, the restaurant business, you know, dairy farmers do sell a lot of milk and cheese and cream and different things like that for recipes for restaurants. So they have definitely taken a hit due to the pandemic.
Talking with Monica Nyman from the St. Louis District Dairy Council, June is Dairy Month. And you do a theme, or they decide on a theme each year, and this time it's local farmers, local dairy. So, I mean, I know we all know wherever you are at that there are dairy farmers locally, and is it specifically talking about them, or is it talking about perhaps a bigger milking operation that could still be local and serve a certain area?
Well, you know, the definition of local is very gray, and I think this is kind of surprising to some people. There actually isn't a definition of what local means, but it does mean that it's the produce or the product or the dairy comes from a limited geographic area. So that can be a certain number of miles, you know, depending on whoever's selling it, how they promote it. So it's a very gray definition. But we wanted to take this term, you know, and use our theme this year for local, because a lot of people have realized that our local communities have been really struggling. I mean, I think this pandemic has opened many people's eyes as far as, you know, the different services that are typically provided or the different types of shops in our local communities that have really taken a hit. And our local dairy farmers have also taken a hit during this pandemic. So we wanted to just shed sort of the light on the term local and then also kind of talk about the local dairy farmers.
Well, I guess when you look at dairy, I mean, I guess that would make it a local food by that same definition. I guess part of that is with, you know, like with fruits and vegetables and things like that, because they are perishable, so they're not going to travel nearly as far or nearly as well. And then being perishable, they have a shorter shelf life, obviously.
Yep. So that's exactly one of the reasons that we do consider dairy local, because, you know, that production plant has to be in a pretty, you know, relatively close area to the dairy farms, because it really only takes about 48 hours for milk to get from the farm into the grocery stores. So there's usually a centralized location for those production plants. And then, of course, the milk is transported from the farms into the plants. It's pasteurized, tested, you know, just to ensure that it's fresh and it has a really high quality. And so just a reminder that when you're supporting local business owners, and I think a lot of people have sort of shifted their spending, you know, to kind of focus on their local communities. And in the grocery stores, don't forget that the dairy case does have a lot of local dairy products in it.
Absolutely. You know, I still remember back, this was, I can't remember if it was seventh or eighth grade, I think, an ag class in junior high, and visiting a local dairy farm and able to sample fresh milk right out of their cooler in the dairy barn. That I assume at that point it had been pasteurized and everything, but they already had it in the cooler. It's like at, you know, 30, 34, 36 degrees, something like that. I still remember that as the absolute best milk I ever had. So, yeah, the fresher the better, obviously.
Well, I'm not going to tell you, Tom, that that was probably a long time ago, and the farmers are actually not able to do that anymore.
It was a long time ago. It must have been about 1976. If it was in eighth grade, yeah. It's been a while.
So for listeners, if you're going to visit a dairy farm, you will not be able to sample milk out of that tank. And the reason for that is just milk is one of the most regulated foods in our food chain supply, and they have very, very strict rules and measures, really just to ensure that nothing, once it comes out of the cow, it gets sent into the tank. It is not, you know, messed with or opened or anything like that, so that it can be tested, to, just to ensure it doesn't have any bacteria or anything in it that could potentially be harmful. So it's a very safe, high quality product.
Yeah, which makes sense. And that's, I think, a lot of people need to know that there's a certain segment of the population that doesn't believe anything in anything our ag producers do. And that's just an example of one of the things, how they keep us safe and keep our food supply safe.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's get, you know, a little bit more about the local dairy farmers and kind of their importance. I mean, you know, one, the milk cows, they need to be milked no matter what. It's you know, that's which is why, you know, even when the demand's not there, the supply is still there.
That's right. And so there's never been really sort of that supply issue with the whole COVID pandemic, because as I mentioned earlier, the cows were still being milked, and those cows get milked usually two or three times a day, unless there's a robotic system in place where the cows can just freely be milked as many times as possible. But I just wanted to give a shout out to all of those dairy farmers, because they are such hard workers. They have to be on the farm or make sure that somebody's there to facilitate all of that. Right now, about 95% of dairy farms are still family-owned, and they have typically less than 200 cows. And so from working in the dairy industry for many years now, most of the farmers that I interact with on a regular basis, they are farming with some of them, their parents or a parent, and then siblings, or even like a son or someone who is, you know, interested in taking over that farm in the future. So it's usually just a couple of family members, maybe a couple of part-time employees. And many of our farmers, it's very challenging for them to get away from the farm just because there is so much work to do every day. So just as a reminder, you know, they're really small business owners, if you think of it in that way, because they have a really strong investment in their animals, in their land, and their overall business. And so just as, you know, the local food kind of continues to grow, and people are becoming a lot more interested in where their food is coming from, this gives our dairy farmers a huge opportunity to be able to tell their story. And I think sometimes our consumers are surprised to hear just how hard it is to be a dairy farmer, because they never actually stopped to think about it before.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Monica Nyman with the St. Louis District Dairy Council joining us here this morning. Talk about a little bit about the St. Louis District Dairy Council and what it is you do and how it is what you do to help promote dairy on behalf of the farmers themselves.
Sure. So we're sort of just that bridge. We are all registered dietitians. Our goal is really to teach people about healthy eating and how dairy fits into a healthy diet. So we're a local dairy chapter, and basically what that means is that we are able to sort of create our own materials and resources and programs, just based on what our community needs. So we do service 131 counties, both in Illinois and Missouri. So, of course, I work out of our Bloomington, Illinois office, and I cover myself, 27 counties in sort of our northern central region of Illinois. So basically, we develop resources. We have a lot of programs for schools. We develop nutrition materials for health professionals. Of course, we work with the media on a regular basis on different variety of topics every single month. I know many of the listeners probably have heard me before on this station, which is awesome. And then we just try to connect the consumers and also students to the farm, because there is a disconnect these days. I mean, kids these days don't have the opportunity to go to farms or work on farms, because unfortunately the dairy industry, every year we're losing dairy farms because it is a really hard job. And I think, next generations, are thinking, gosh, I'm not sure if I really want to have to milk cows, two or three times a day. And sometimes it's a financial decision on behalf of the farmer. So anyway, we try to bridge that, gap between the students and the farmers, and sort of help bring the dairy farm to them in a variety of different ways as well.
You know, one of those interesting ways you do that, there's a lot of zoos that'll do like an adopt an animal type thing where you can whatever have your name associated with a chimpanzee or whatever. But you guys do that also. There's an adopt a cow program. Tell us about that.
All right. So our Adopt-A-Cow program is our way to bring the dairy farm into the classroom. And so the way I describe it easily is that the classroom, the teacher, they could have a class pet without having to clean up the mess, because it is an online program and they get to adopt a calf, they get to name it, they get to watch it grow throughout the school year. So we send them pictures every single month. We send them videos from their farmer, so they sort of feel like they have a little bit of a relationship with the dairy farmer. We give them activities to do. So this program, we've been doing this now, I think, for about 4 to 5 years. And last year, we were able to reach over 1,700 classrooms, which is amazing. And I get to visit some of those classrooms and share lots of information about the farmer and their family and kind of what goes on the farm, because I've been to all of the dairy farms, of course. And so it's a really fun program to be able, again, to bridge that gap between the students and then also the dairy industry and the farms.
Talking with Monica Nyman with the St. Louis Dairy Council. It's June, and that means it is Dairy Month. You know, one of the things that's probably changed throughout your years in doing this job is social media. And so obviously that's added to what you probably made you busier, for one, because you have to keep up with things on there. But you guys have something going on, a new promotion along with June Dairy Month, Make It With Milk. Talk a little bit about that program.
Okay, so our promotion this month, again, is called Make It With Milk. And the reason we chose this promotion was because there are still a lot of people who are doing a lot of cooking from home. So for everyone who was, quarantined and working from home, people who are cooking from home, the percentage has increased dramatically. So we wanted to be able to provide some really nutritious and fun recipes that include milk. To be able to give consumers, just different new ideas for things that can be made while they're still increasing the times that they're cooking at home. So our promotion is called Make It With Milk. And what you need to do is follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is STL Dairy Council. And each week we're posting a couple different videos from a variety of different themes of recipes that can be used at home that are pretty simple. And if you comment on our video with your favorite recipe using milk, we actually have a really cool Make It With Milk toolkit. So it has a measuring cup, it has ice cube trays, it has a milk frother, and it has a whisk. All included in that kit. So all you have to do is follow us on Facebook and Instagram, comment on our videos with your favorite recipe using milk, and we will send you Make It With Milk Toolkit. So you'll have some new goodies in your kitchen. You'll have some new recipes to try out, and hopefully have a little bit of fun with us for our June Dairy Month promotion.
Excellent. Sounds like a little bit of fun, a little incentive for people to follow and talk about their recipes. Monica Nyman is with the St. Louis Dairy Council joining us here this morning. June is Dairy Month. You know, people wonder, you know, what are the benefits? What are the benefits of dairy? How can that help? Where does my milk come from? You know, not everybody can get a tour of a farm. They probably could if they tried, but not everybody can do that. But there are places and resources where people can go to can find out some of this information.
Absolutely. So you mentioned, you know, the Where Is My Milk From? That is actually a website. It's whereismymilkfrom.com. And you can just type in the plant code. So if you have a gallon of milk, right at the top where you're opening it, there's actually a number stamped on there. If you've ever noticed that number, you just put that right into the website. There's a little spot where you can enter those numbers, and it will actually pull up the production plant of where that gallon of milk came from. So you're able to sort of track to see how far your milk traveled to get to your grocery store. And then anything related to the health benefits of dairy, including how it fits into a healthy diet. We have recipes. We have nutrition-related articles for kids and for adults, and how to use chocolate milk as a recovery beverage. So we have all different types of resources on our website, and that is stldairycouncil.org. And then just as a final reminder to listeners, don't forget, like us on Facebook and Instagram. Again, our handle is stldairycouncil. And you can win a Make It With Milk toolkit all month long as we celebrate June Dairy Month.
Well, you've always got some great recipes. And, you know, talk about here we are just about to officially summertime, but we've had some warm weather. One of the recipes that you can check out right now, frozen hot cocoa. That sounds really, really good. I'm guessing kind of a consistency of like a milkshake, I guess. Is that what it comes out to, or?
Yeah, kind of. I actually made this recipe with my 11-year-old. So this is one of the videos that is on the Instagram account. So it's a frozen hot chocolate. So if you have leftover cocoa powder from the winter, which I think most people probably do in their cupboards, you just take 1/4 cup of cocoa mix, 2 tablespoons of chocolate syrup, either regular or sugar-free, 1 cup of low-fat milk, and 1 cup of ice cubes. So just 4 simple ingredients. Put it all in a blender, blend it up. But that cocoa mix gives it such a good flavor. It actually is super delicious. So that's a great way to get a serving of low-fat milk in. You can still have your hot cocoa just in a frozen way because the temperatures are definitely warming up. And it's just a great way to get in a serving of dairy.
Yeah. And one of the other things, which I had not ever thought, scrumptious vanilla waffles. That's one, because usually most of it's like plain waffles, maybe some blueberries in them or something, but vanilla waffles, that sounds actually really different. Sounds really good.
Yep. So these I have probably made these at least 4 to 5 times during quarantine because my family often has breakfast for supper at night. And so this vanilla waffle recipe does have a whole tablespoon of vanilla in it. So it just gives it a really, really nice flavor. So if you're someone that likes to try new recipes, I mean, it really only has, you know, a handful of ingredients, flour, baking powder, a little bit of sugar, some eggs, a little bit of milk, and you just whip all that together, put it in your waffle maker, and it's a really tasty waffle recipe, and that is available on our website, Scrumptious Vanilla Waffles. Again, that website is stldairycouncil.org.
And, you know, that time of year, have some ice cream, too.
You can put ice cream on anything.
Absolutely. 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 Monica Nyman, St. Louis Dairy Council, joining us here this morning. Anything else we need to know, Monica, during June Dairy Month?
No, just I would just encourage listeners to follow us on our social media. You did mention how we are doing that a little bit more. And, yes, I have had a learning curve. Social media isn't usually our priority, but since we weren't able to travel for several months, we really did step up our game on social media. So I've been experimenting with all different types of you know, apps and putting different videos together and figuring out how all of that stuff works. So it's pushed me a little bit out of my comfort zone, but I feel like I've made a lot of progress and I've learned from that. So be sure, listeners out there, to check us out, Facebook and Instagram. The handle again for both of those is STL Dairy Council.
All right. Monica, thank you as always. Always appreciate it. And we'll talk with you again soon.
All right. Sounds good.